that again, Home Affairs must give the small one who has thermal code in that certificate, another processing. So all of these people have to be tied to Home Affairs at the same time. So I think it's something that I may not want to get into, but at some point we'll have to reflect looking at the role of Home Affairs, not only on the issue of monitoring IT books and the well-being of our people in the country. I think Home Affairs can, in fact, they have reflect on some of these things and be able to give that a tip, on how we, begin to build bridges amongst our communities, amongst our people in South Africa. So it was one of the things that took us away, and then now again, we're still preparing for the settlement of the fourth settlement, and we'll be there in the Transcar over the weekend. So we have to move the body tomorrow to the Transcar. And then the boy who is very critical, who is 3 years old, 9 years old, was very critical, and he just moved to the doctor this morning. The condition of the boy is not satisfactory. Therefore, quite a very serious problem. Other more than 7 people who still lying in the hospital. On that note, members, we meet them to start the meeting. As I said, that I see the deputy minister is here. I did receive a call, and I've spoken to a number of people in the office of the minister, the director general, and the deputy minister again, that the minister of Home Affairs is not well, and therefore that's why she's not able to be part of this meeting, and that apology has been accepted. Therefore, we believe that in order to have the deputy minister now leading this question. On that note, because we are now dealing with the annual report, I'm going to ask the department to make that presentation, but before that, the judgment that we have segmented from the unit, our research unit. Just like the segmented to members, I think all members have the judgment. The judgment we don't use is a guide, and I know that there are a lot of questions that we want to ask the department, because we have gone through the annual report in detail, and therefore there are a number of questions that we have identified, and the members may not have been ready. It was because we may not be in a position maybe to go in detail on that report, but we're going to agree as to how we're going to process the annual report. It's not going to be a one-off presentation, therefore, thank you very much, Baba. We want to get to the detail of the problems that still, they cover Home Affairs. And then this report, as we have been doing it before, and the number of recommendations that we've been doing for over years, for more than 15 years, in fact, you'll find that just very few of them have been addressed. As we engage with the department, we'll be able to hear as to how far they are, what's happening, what has happened, in fact, and what actions they've been taken to rectify some of the problems that they've been facing. On that note, it's my normal, a long welcome to I kind of shot. I wanted to go far, but because of time, let me just cut it and then allow the deputy minister to lead us in the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Honorable members of the portfolio committee, of the department and the ministry itself, and ladies and gentlemen of the press, what I will do is introduce the annual report. Not necessarily the team that is here. And start by apologizing again on behalf of the minister who is not well. And that is why she could not travel to Cape Town. The team of the department, without introducing it in full, consists of the Director General, Mr. Mabuso Msimang, the CEO of the Government Printing Works, Mr. Tom Moyan, and other senior officials, the acting CFO next to me, and Chief Director for Strategic Executive Support Services. We would like to wish the honorable members a fruitful year and look forward to a constructive and robust engagement between the ministry, the portfolio committee, as well as the department. The reporting period covered in the by the annual report is the financial year ending March 2007. We wish from the outset to fully acknowledge the seriousness of the audit disclaimer, and I will speak briefly to what lies behind it. But we also welcome the opportunity to state what actions we are taking and why we are looking forward to a much improved audit report for the 2007 to 2008 financial year, and even better audit reports in the years to follow. As you may have read in the recent report, the rest of the government is taking this issue of the audit report seriously. We are concerned ourselves that for quite a long time now, our department has consistently failed to obtain a clean and unqualified audit. The audit disclaimer clearly shows how serious the problems were that confronted our department during the years under review and in the years before that. It came as no surprise that the minister and I, this disclaimer came as no surprise to us. The minister and I were well aware that the problems of the financial management of the department must be addressed as part of a comprehensive program of building a new home affairs from the ground up. As we have stated here previously, the 2006-2007 disclaimer, the 2005-2006 disclaimer before this one, about which we are reporting today, was more than a mere financial problem. It was indicative of a much deeper structural problem that was faced by the department, and it needed bold and decisive action on our part. And in that regard, we have not failed. We spent, I think, the course of the previous year dealing precisely with these matters, because, as I say, we did not think they were just mere financial matters. They indicated that there was a much deeper problem we had to deal with, which had affected in the department not just during the year of the disclaimer itself, but problems which had affected and afflicted the department for quite a number of years. After the previous audit disclaimer, the minister took decisive action and established a support intervention committee comprised of her cabinet colleagues, the Minister of Finance, as well as the Minister for the Public Service and Administration, as well as herself, the Minister of Home Affairs. They then established the support intervention task team, about which we shall comment a little bit later. We have reported to the Portfolio Committee several times about the strategic intervention to resolve these matters, these problems. And we shall today also account for the steps we are taking specifically to address the reasons for the consecutive disclaimer opinion from the Auditor General. It has concerned us that after several years of receiving qualified audits, as well as subsequently disclaimer opinion, no sufficient steps have been taken by the department directly to address the reason for these negative opinions. We are of the firm opinion that these are not intractable problems, and had they been addressed, our situation would have drastically improved. These have been recurring issues for a period of about 5 years. And we feel that it is important that the accounting officer as well as the CFO must at all times be held responsible for the prudent management of the organizational finances. The support intervention team spent the last 6 months of 2006 in the department assessing the root causes of the problem. The team was led by the DG of the Office of the Public Service Commission and the Accountant General, and was supported by the Department of Public Service and Administration. Their findings, given to the department in January 2007, indicated that there were broad challenges that needed to be addressed in order to effect essential changes and turn the Department of Home Affairs around. Briefly, those broad problems related to weak leadership and management, inadequate and wrongly placed human resources, information technology and systems that failed to support the core business, as well as poor financial management and internal control. The minister acted swiftly on the report after consulting a cabinet colleague. You will also remember that during this period for which we are accounting, the then Director General resigned, as well as other top and senior managers. However, by May 2007, the new DG, Mr. Mavuso Msimang, had been appointed, and change management specialists had been invited to determine the scope and nature of a turnaround program that would transform the department. Substantial additional resources have been provided by the National Treasury for this purpose. Phase 1 of the turnaround program lasted from June to December 2007 and involved joint teams of department officials as well as contracted specialists. The focus was on transforming services to citizens by completely overhauling the way we do business at every level. This is not an overnight process, but implementation has already begun in some critical areas, and a number of quick wins have already been achieved. These include significant progress in relation to management, the processing of IDs, SCAP skills permits, risk management, contract management, and revenue collection. Phase 2 of the turnaround program has started and will be completed in December 2009. Phase 2 is about implementation on two levels: transforming the department as an organization and delivering our services effectively and efficiently. These two levels, as you know, are interrelated and dialectically related. We are very confident that on both levels, dramatic improvements will be made in the coming months. This will fully respond to the current audit report and several past reports in respect of financial management systems and controls. This period for which we are accounting, therefore, is an exceptional period in the department. It was at this point that problems were arrested and comprehensive and profound solutions found. Accordingly, you must bear this in mind, that at this point, the problem had not been eliminated, especially those that related to financial management or lack thereof. And this was a period before the turnaround itself got into full swing. At this stage, there were still many problems, as this report itself does indicate. But it was also a period when bold and decisive steps were taken to put an end to these recurring problems. It was a year of turbulence, but a year of radical change. I want to conclude by pointing out that the audit report also covers both the Department of Home Affairs as well as the Government Printing Works, which is a trading entity. What we need to appreciate is that the department is highly dependent on GPW, which produces enabling documents such as IDs and passports. Part of the work that we are doing with regards to the turnaround program is to address exactly this symbiotic relationship between our department and the GPW. Because to the extent that we should be able to fulfill our services, to discharge our mandate, to that extent we depend on an equally efficient GPW that would be able to service the department so that we are able to serve the people of South Africa. The audit report confirms that urgent action is needed to ensure the viability of GPW, especially in view of the need to speed up its corporatization. In this regard, I want to highlight two major areas of concern. Firstly, it is impossible for GPW to secure and retain skilled staff unless they are allowed to offer market-related salaries. Secondly, there is a serious problem of departments other than Home Affairs regarding prompt payment for GPW services. Immediate measures are being taken to address these issues. The GPW report shall also indicate the serious challenges the organization faces as well as the progress made thus far. It will highlight the strategic vulnerability areas as well as the audit opinion challenges that led to the adverse opinion by the Auditor General. We will report on the steps we are taking, again directly to address these matters so that we can deal with them. While corporatization in itself will not resolve all the problems, it will contribute towards a durable solution to place this organization on a proper footing. We look forward to the active support of the Portfolio Committee in building a transformed Department of Home Affairs and in addressing the urgent challenges faced by GPW. We look forward to a robust engagement with the Portfolio Committee. What I was trying to do is not placed before you excuses for the problems that we have faced, but to give context to the problems that we ourselves have been faced to admit, the problems towards the solution of which we have already taken decisive steps, among others represented by some changes that can be evident in the department at the level of leadership. Because we believe that the organization cannot continue as things are. We've got to change leadership and management. We've got to change our financial systems and controls. We've got to change our IT systems. We've got to ensure that we've got the right human resources that we can deploy appropriately at appropriate levels, so that we are able to deliver the services that our people want. Because at the end of the day, the challenges that we face have got to do with every single South African, together with those people who come into our country, tourists, business people, students, and others. And I want to say that we are very much alive to the challenges that we are facing and offer no excuses for them, other than that we are committed to addressing those problems. Thank you very much, Chief.
All right. Thank you very much, before we give the department to present the report, I think it's important that we should engage with your presentation as the political head of the department. It's important. We don't do that. There are certain things that we may want to ask, and we cannot ask the official directly. As the head, political head responsible for the department, I think you must be able to clarify some of the issues that the members may want to ask you. Part of what I want to understand, is that the one this intervention has been that was then deployed to the department. It was this call that we supported as a committee when that intervention has been was called. And we observed the number of changes from the disclaimer that you received that time. During the time of the intervention task team, we were receiving qualified report and they left the department. Having left the department, it went back again to that thing of the disclaimer team. You are clearly when we will have the opportunity to go through the presentation of the report. But in our own assessment, is that nothing was done after that intervention has given its recommendation. We dealt with the recommendations. The presented to us, we said that we accept the report given to us by the minister then. And we said that that report is not a complete report because there are still other subcommittees which have not yet consolidated the report to make one full report of the intervention team. That 20-page report, we said that it was not. We are on record to accept that. Meaning that all the recommendations that were made by the intervention team, especially on the issues of the internal control, because if you look at the report again now, because we have done the assessment of the report, we have checked the report, it appears to me that nothing was done. That is why we have a situation that we have of a disclaimer again, meaning that it's a very serious issue. It's an issue that the committee is not something that we'll have to deal with and say, okay, thank you very much, we agree, go and work again and come back with another disclaimer. Because it does involve taxpayers' money that are not accounted for. Therefore, we want, as we deal with this report, get from you the guarantees. In whatever that you are saying that you are going to look at this issue, the key areas identified, especially this internal control, as a political head now of the department, what is it that you are doing specifically on that one? Before we even get to the DG in the report, because the disclaimer centered around internal control, management systems, monitoring, lack of documentation. I know that I'll give you DG to speak on this issue on the report, which I know for a fact that you are not part of that report much. Because you started your work somewhere in May, and then by May, that time, we're expecting the Department of Consolidated the report by September to table the report in the committee. But there's no other person that we can engage with so much. Your CFO, I know that he's suspended. Or is now fired. We don't know what's happening. But we want to hear what's happening with us, together with this higher, you know, a manager. Part of the problem that I see is that, you know, for many years, in fact,
for the past 10 years the department operated without senior management. And everybody was there was just thinking, they will not take decisions and all of that. And I know for a fact that we have now suspended, this was better suspended, and I'm not sure how we have now dealt with the film of those vacancies, if they are found guilty or they are now taken off the system. Because it would be of useless of us to be engaging around these issues when exactly we know that the people are supposed to be monitoring programs, which one of those programs are not. So I think as a volunteer head, you need to share with the community what is it that yourself are doing to address this. What actions have the volunteer head taken to correct the situation without placing the burden on the new director general that now that we are there, DG means that we have to be in charge of the problem. Let's hear what the politicians have done to address the problem. Because for us, I think with members, is that we really sick and tired of every year have to deal with the disclaimer qualified report. Since ever, at no point that this department has ever received a clean motion, a record from the auditor general. At no point. For the past 15 years, it has just been this chaos that we are sitting with. During the previous, 10 years, under the leadership of a Honorable Mangosuthu Buthelezi, we've been saying the very same thing that was said to me. We are on record. If you can go check our records, at some point we will not see eye to eye with the minister because we said these are things that we must go address. And they thought that this parliament and the portfolio committees are just a rubber stamp, so therefore, you just come to them, go away. It's fine, it's normal. A disclaimer is very serious. If it qualifies support, it's very serious. And what action is obvious, I want to hear the serious issues that they take. If you do not account for 56 million somewhere that nobody knows what happened to that money, an action would have to have been taken somehow to recover those watch funds. But let's engage with you at the level watch for the Deputy Minister, and then from there, we'll then go to the presentation of the report itself. But I think it's important that it should sort of clarify this portfolio committee, because this portfolio committee will have to make very serious recommendations about this thing. Khoja, I saw that you raised your hand.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also add. Let me also add to some of the questions the political leadership, the Deputy Minister. Because in terms of PSMA, if the department is getting disclaimer, somebody must be charged. Why all along no one has been charged? My second question, Chairperson, with regard to not honoring PSMA and treasury regulation. This is a recurring Chairperson. And also, I just want to find out from the Deputy Minister, in terms of Immigration Act, the department, the political head, supposed to give guidelines to the portfolio committee so that we can amend the Immigration Act to cover the period after 30 days where the department has failed to deport somebody. The Auditor General keep on raising these issues year in and year out, and also nothing comes forth. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, maybe to make a supplemental report about what you can, some of the people come join the presentation after teaching. Chairperson, it's true about the issue of this claim. This is very pathetic. This issue is very pathetic. Like, I'll put an example in terms of section 3813 of the PFMA, the accounting officer for the department must take effective and appropriate steps including to collect all money due to the department and the like, but some of the things which were raised in the past was that there were money which were not being collected properly by the department. Then that thing, I think it's, I don't know what, maybe the Prime Minister can really clarify that, that what is the development in that regard. To an extent, I wanted to find out that in terms of the service delivery improvement plan, I mean, what do you have in terms of the plan, if we have any plan in terms of service delivery improvement plan, is required by Section 5.22 of Treasury Regulation.
Thank you, sir. I just want to endorse your sentiments in the strongest possible terms. Whilst we appreciate that this is a historical attempt, clearly the situation of another disclaimer is unacceptable, particularly considering that we know that this department is crucial for service delivery. So we need to look very carefully. My pet horse has always been, as you know, the internal audit, the financials, and we appreciate historical, but here again, with it, the EG says for that financial year, the number of serious systemic and financial management problems. We need to know, and I trust we will engage on what is being done with internal audits, what is being done in that regard. And clearly at this stage, we still don't know what's happened with the CFO that was suspended. I see there is a reference in the report to that. Has that matter been finalized? We need to look into all these issues. But we do trust that the turnaround strategy will succeed in bringing the department to that level where proper service delivery can take place. So we fully support your sentiments as you've expressed.
Are you... Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. I do underwrite that we have got serious problems in the Home Affairs, has been in a serious state for 13 years. I would like to ask if anything is being done about advertising how much people are supposed to pay for ID documents. Now, my feedback is that they have to pay anything from 35 to 100 rand for a temporary ID document. They then sit with a temporary document while the other documents are being lost. I see that there was a report on it, and I'd like to know, this is actually very serious, especially this time of year when people, especially young people, are trying to get ID documents. Thank you.
These are issues that the committee believes that issues that there are more in terms of these issues. In fact, we sort of, if we look at our document that has gone through this report, you'll find that a lot of things that but it's important to engage with the volunteers with regard to this challenge which we see them. And they assure us, the issue that you have raised again and the issue of the CFO and the suspension, I mean, that's how we deal with it. Were informed in the committee that these officials are suspended, and therefore by now I think we suppose well, those are very critical reports. But as you say, you want to correct the situation. With whom? If we don't have those people in place, I'm not saying them, but as people have seen their actions and how to what for, how to deal with that. You know. So we let's hear you dear as to your political interventions around this all these issues that come from the which you have just changed have appointed the new Director General again, and I hope that the Honorable Mabuso will be spending some time with Home Affairs, because one of the problems is, you know, the change of Director General will come, cook the pot when they're about to be, and it disappears, and they will deliver very strongly that it's still going to be done. But just, respond to the issues here, so that we can then go to the report and give you the details.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks, Chair. As I have indicated in my introductory remarks, we share the feeling of the Portfolio Committee about this report and about this history. of negative reports. So to that extent, we are one in sharing those concerns, those sentiments. In 2006, when we received the disclaimer opinion from the Auditor General, we took the urgent steps to request two outside departments to come into our department and assist us to change the situation. Naturally, that caused a lot of uncertainties, it caused a lot of anxieties among some of our top managers, as a result of which you could not start and move forward. You had to have a period of instability whilst you were dealing with introducing new systems, introducing new people to try and address the problems that had arisen. Now, one of the crucial things that happened was obviously the resignation of the then Director General a few months into the Support Intervention Task Team work. And the departure of some of our top managers and senior managers. In 2007, we then took additional steps to suspend some of the official top managers because we were feeling that they were not moving in the direction we wanted them to move, so that we are able to deal with the challenges that we were facing. And one of those, obviously, is the CFO. I have indicated that we are of the view that we need to take serious steps to consider what we must do to ensure that the accounting officer and the CFO, or one of the two, if not both, is held responsible for our financial management, so that we cut off this trend of negative audit opinion, whether it's a qualified report or an adverse opinion or a disclaimer. So there are steps, very bold, decisive steps that we are taking in this regard. I think we may have to consider the question whether you don't need to include this in the performance agreement for some of these strategic officials, insofar as financial management is concerned and the audit report in particular, because we have no excuse for not getting an unqualified audit opinion. We've got to work towards it. And the opinions raised by the Auditor General are not instructive. It's not things that we cannot address. It's things that are very much within our power to address, and there are people employed precisely to address those opinions of the Auditor General. Part of what we have done, therefore, in the visioning and design is to look specifically in the turnaround program as we were developing a new vision, designing the organization afresh, to look specifically at what you do with your financial management. Because financial management doesn't happen only at national level, it happens throughout the organization. The rest of the organization, in one way or the other, is responsible for financing. One of the problems we have been confronting all along related to how our various districts and regions were failing to account for finances. The absence of financial management skills at those levels. The absence of systems throughout the organization, which therefore made it easy for corruption to take place and made it difficult for prudent management to take place. I'm sure the CFO and the DG will report, give more details on how, on what we have done to ensure that there is prudent management throughout the organization, that every office is able to account exactly for the fees that they are handling. And what we are doing to deal with the specific audit opinion that the Auditor General raises in the report. We obviously have to have new, better and more competent skills. It's a matter that we are looking at, that we are working on, and there are people that are being brought into the organization to deal with that, to assist us to address these particular challenges. If nothing happened between 2006 and 2007, if we have received another disclaimer now, it's because there was a gap that developed during this period of transition, of turbulence in the organization. And as I indicated in my introductory remarks, we were not surprised. Not at all surprised. But we have taken drastic, practical steps to focus on the specific issues that have led to the serial negative opinion, so that we are able, going forward, to have an unqualified audit. We are working towards an unqualified audit. That's what we would want to achieve. So we would be able to deal at that level, during that process, with all of these things that you are raising regarding the Immigration Act, regarding how we are collecting money that we are being owed, how we are managing the finances that we have been granted by government through the budget, and so on. I'm sure the DG will report on what has happened with regard to the CFO, so that we shed more light to the portfolio committee in that regard. There is a service delivery improvement plan. We are working on it because the challenge that we are facing is to turn the organization around. Turn it around in terms of its vision, turn it around in terms of its design, turn it around in terms of its services. Some of the things that the DG reported to the portfolio committee about last year, which had to do with the turnaround progress on the turnaround strike program, had to do with addressing exactly the concerns that the honorable members are raising with us, so that we are able to deliver our ideas not just in 90 days, because our ideal situation is to be able to deliver it within 14 days at least, so that we are able to have the necessary people with the correct skills in our offices at all levels, so that we are able to deliver a quality service to all our clients. We've got to know our clients, what type of clients we are dealing with, because we are not dealing with one type of client. They've got diverse needs, they've got diverse expectations. We must be able to deliver to all of them in a manner that is convenient to them, So there is that work taking place during the previous period ending in December last year. We were largely dealing with phase one of the turnaround program, which largely has to do with visioning and designing the, redesigning the department. We are moving into the implementation phase now, which would end in December 2009, so that effective changes at the level of service delivery are going to begin to be felt, not by us, not by our report, but are going to begin to be felt by ordinary South Africans as they interact with our department. They are the ones who should be saying that we are seeing change, we are feeling change, not us convincing you. So to that extent, there is work taking place. We are aware that this work hasn't happened in the department in many years. And I'm being modest. And this work is extensive and should be profound. And this work will succeed if we have the necessary tools and human capacity at the correct places for us to be able to achieve the vision that we have set ourselves. This will include how we communicate with South Africans and inform them about the services that we offer them, how much they cost, all of those things. One of the things the DG is going to do soon is to address all our officials, and the new DG has got a weekly communication mechanism through in our internet services with our staff members to address them on the issues of the turnaround so that they are part of the process. Because for the turnaround process to succeed, we need our staff members to be part of the process, to buy into it, and to own it. Now, the idea, obviously, the first time application is zero rate. At the first application for an ID, free. If you reapply for an ID, it's 13 rand. It would be quite strange, and obviously would be corruption if anybody is made to pay 35 rand for an ID. The DG has been taking drastic measures, as you have been reading in the media. Week in, week out, there are officials being arrested, not just suspended, being arrested for corruption. Not only in our frontline offices, but even at head office. Because we want to communicate the correct message that corruption will not be tolerated, the steps will be taken, and there will be no cover-up. But the challenge for us is not just to combat corruption. The challenge for us is to prevent it. That is the critical challenge we're facing. And this is where you need an ethical staff. This is where you need a professional staff committed to government, to serving our people. And this is where you need an efficient IT system so that you remove the human element in the provision of services. The human element must be there, of course, because no amount of IT will provide a quality service. But you need to have an efficient IT system that is able to prevent corruption in dealing with the registration of marriages, in dealing with the application for documents, in whether it's passports or visas or IDs or any sort of document. And this is where you need an efficient IT system to ensure that corruption is prevented, to limit the numbers of people that we have to arrest, investigate, because they are involved in corruption. And some of these things we have reported before have had to do with
numbers of people who have access to our population register, all of those things. Now, if anybody is made to pay 100 rand for a temporary ID, it's obviously corruption. Can't be right, can't be true. If there are such instances, we would love to get where it happened, who did it, who was the victim, so that we can deal with the we can find the person who took the application. Because the good thing is that I have sat in the frontline offices and taken ID application, and I know that in the form that you fill up when a person applies for an ID, you also attach your personal number and your signature. Should be able to find out who took an ID application for 35 cents. So those chapters are the broad responses to the questions that I know that the detailed response from the department when we account on the annual report we should be able to deal with. The fundamental point that I want to emphasize is that we share the sentiments of the honorable member that the serial defaulting on the audit report has got to end. We will got to have a clean audit report, an unqualified audit report, and that's why, among others, we have taken the radical steps we have taken. They may not be enough for now. Getting an acting CSO, because any person, and without being prejudicial to the other case the DG is dealing with, any person responsible for finances, if you can't get a clean audit in 5 years, surely radical steps must be taken. But going forward, what do we need to do to ensure that a person who is responsible for financing is held accountable in their performance agreement about the audit report? Thank you.
Before we went for the GM, you said that you foresee that there's going to be this problem. No. What I don't hear you is that we have tried to prevent this disclaimer by this intervention at the political level. This is what we did. It was the report that the DG would give us would be his intervention. And I don't hear you saying that ourselves and the DG or the top management, we came together, we looked at these issues, and these were sort of measures that were put in place to try not to arrive at this point. Either it was a subsidized program, I'll understand. Because to me, it's like, yes, we saw that this thing is coming. But business as usual continue trying to get the new CFO and all of that. But again, to say the DG will tell us about the CFO, I think it's important that the political head to share with the committee, in fact, behind the committee, what is the negotiation. Because at the end of the day, the person that appoints is the political head that then says, we now confirm you to be the CFO of the Department of Home Affairs. And what has been the status of the previous CFO? Was he a confirmed CFO? Was he in that position as a full-time CFO? Or was he acting for the many years that he has been taking there? And then what is happening is that I know now that we have a new CFO. If we have a new CFO that is now appointed, and the other one is still going through a court case, whatever that is happening, I don't know what's happening, it's not sharing with us. So by now we're supposed to hear that the CFO has now been dismissed, we have now appointed a full-time or anything, I don't know what's happening. So that, you know, we're very clear, because when we now get to the details of this report, in our mind we must be sure that there's a structure that will be taking into account all these issues that we are raising. Senior management of the department is in time, because if we don't have that senior management of the department, alone the DG cannot do it. He cannot. Because when he will be coming back, the DG, with what we expect from him, a clean report. And it's not going to happen, because we don't have the hierarchy of the department. And he cannot expect the DG to be running the department alone. That's one of the things that I really want to get, you know, to the detail of it. So that when we say now, we believe very strongly that this department will not come back with this case. We don't want to blame you, Honorable Mobutu, when you come back and say, you know, I tried, but, you know, so-and-so was not appointed. I tried, it's not the senior management. I tried, and this was the better. And that would make you think, Honorable Mobutu, and you definitely want to be the department. We want to be a support committee that supports you, that helps you to arrive at what we want all of us. Because at the end of the day, it's the integrity of man that is at stake. It's saying this delivery that is at stake, that we expect that our people should get a wonderful department, not this horrible department that we read about in the daily time. And this is what we want all of us. So therefore, I think those political issues, it's critical that a political head must be able to say, our intervention was this, this is what we've done, the case of the CFO and other, you know, what was good. What I think we should do then as we engage with this report. Set in our mind, I think let's engage on the issue of the previous director general, the CFO, and all those managers we have left. Because I believe that at some point we'll have to call them. Because I don't want this game to be put on Mabuso to say now that we are here, account for the 27 million that cannot be accounted for. There's a number of money that are not accounted for accordingly. Therefore, we are now dealing with this thing. I'm saying that we're going to deal with this thing very seriously. If need be that you call the previous director general to appear and account for his work in that department, it's not going to stop us, we're going to do it. You see, because the clean slate that we want, it must be clean, which means that those that are responsible for all of these other problems, we must have a way of how we deal with them. So it's all those cases here, because I don't expect that we'll come back with another system. I have so much confidence with the approach in which the new DG is taking, but let's clean up the mess that we know that has occurred, and therefore let's hear the leadership, how they're leading in that department, they should lose the problem. And I think for me, it's very critical for members of the committee, I think, so they spend a lot of energy here, they spend a lot of energy, time, doing oversight and all of these things, and if we are unable to unearth the problem, you know, deal with them politically, because now we deal with politicians at the same time. If we are not able to do that, we're going to have a problem that will continue, demoralize all the officials, and will not be able to get a wonderful home affairs, transforming it from this terror, what they call it, a horror home affairs, to a proper home affairs that all of us want. So I think if you can just, you know, if you're able to do that, if you can just, you know, assure this committee at your level that we are really focusing on these issues, therefore, we can then open up and begin to engage here around. Because generally, what I hear you might be talking about the department, you're not saying even yourself how you coordinate yourself. Because I know for a fact that you are responsible for GPW, it is still the film and publication and the IT at some point. I know that you are very much in charge of the IT of the department, but it's important to get. We have just shared this for the people together as the minister and yourself. So how then do you affect monitoring and management of those what's called programs that you have to use? Mama, you'll come here and then we'll then pass off.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to make a photo of what you must hear. DM saying that people are being suspended and the report is also being suspended. I just wanted to know, are they suspended with pay or without pay?
Just to follow up, Chairperson. Chairperson, maybe our leader must be comfortable. If maybe the DM can clarify us that whether there is any mechanism to make all those people who left the department without accounting to come and account before they leave totally. Because our concern is one. Time and again, this is a recurring illness, what we are experiencing. And you are right, Chairperson, that we must be a supporting staff
to the DG and the...
Not the army.
Sorry. Okay. Thanks for correcting me. I mean, we, of course, there must be a mechanism of to account for a person is leaving the department, because some people are taking an advantage that each and every now and then towards the stage to account to the department or to the people committee or towards the end of the year, people seem to resign.
Okay, yeah, I think that's what the one
Yeah, especially being of the CFO and other what's called who are currently suspended and none of that. Just hear what's happening. Then
Yes, thanks. What we had tried to do in our introductory remarks was to speak as political executives and leave the administration to deal with matters of administration, the accounting officer to account. Because, as you know, the political executive, that's what we deal with, not running the department. We deal with political leadership to the department, and it would be difficult, obviously, if we were to try to run the department to at the same time. I think it's necessary, Chair, for the separation.
The problem is that, you are the political head of the department. The accounting officer accounts to the political head. The former official reports to the political head. And the political head accountable to parliament. And when parliament calls upon the political head to account on the issues that they are raising, to want the politician to account. If we call on Papa Bhutu to account, we'll do that. But for now, we want you to respond on the issues that you asked me to do in Parliament now that we're doing that. So therefore, the separation of powers is that the executive is accountable to Parliament. So therefore, Parliament is calling on the executive to account. If we call the officials, we'll do that. We'll call the officials and say, Mr. Mabuso now accounts to the portfolio committee. Because if these things are not done here, we're going to be dealing with problems that will be ongoing problems, and we'll keep on passing the bag to the restaurant. I thought that would just be that because at the end of the day, Mr. Mabuso will be the one who will make a recommendation of the CFO that must be appointed by the political head. It's not him that appoints, it's the political head that signs the appointment of the CFO. So therefore, we want that accountability and it takes place. Oversight is how we understand it, the role of parliament. In accountability when calling the to account. So I think let's use this last session here. I don't want that to pass the bar to the DG and the DG to be the one who now sees that administrative who wants to hear a political responsibility on the issue that they are raising.
I think, Chair, it would also be helpful to give a chance to the responses, much as we give a chance to the questions to be completed and we don't interject them. Because the point that you are making is that to the extent that we had to exercise political responsibility, we did. The letter suspending the CFO will obviously not come from the minister but from the DG. Now, you've got to appreciate those fine separation of responsibilities, so that you don't end up with a minister who has engaged in acts that are beyond their power, no matter how much they may wish to exercise their responsibility. They've got to assign it to the relevant person to be able to do that. The point that you are saying is that to the extent that we had to exercise our responsibility, we did. What did we do? We invited an intervention task team to come into the department to give us a thoroughgoing analysis of the problems that we are facing. Having done so, we then invited the turnaround team to come into the department with specialists in human resources, with specialists in finances, with specialists in IT, with specialists in systems, with specialists in various fields, including in design, so that they can then say, this is how you must respond to these problems that you have. The finance specialists were to come and say, having listened to the report of the accountant general, having read and understood it, these are the systems we are proposing that you should follow to deal with the report, the issues raised by the auditor general and the accountant general. The issue of the suspension of the CFO was as a result of the issues that the DG came in and had to deal with, and came to the conclusion that we need to suspend the DDG for civic services, the CFO, the director for IDs, Mr. Mamabulo, and some other people. And there are many other people. I'm just mentioning the top and senior managers who have been suspended. So, to the extent that the political executive had to intervene and propose system, intervene in the system, you can't do so yourself by saying that these are the systems I'm giving you. We have to bring in those teams of specialists to come in and say, these are the systems we are suggesting to deal with the things that, with the challenges that you are faced with. So that political responsibility was exercised. It was exercised boldly. Incidental matters had to do with the resignation of the then DG, the resignation of the GITO, for example, because those ones were not planned. You could as well have come to the conclusion at another stage that because of your failure to do A, B, C, D, we suggest that you quit, you resign, or you are fired. But it was good that they resigned by themselves, and it gave us a chance to be able to find the people who were going to assist us to intervene in those regards, so that you develop the necessary systems and programs that you require. What has happened with the people who are suspended? Yes, because you have not concluded their matters, they are suspended with pay. It is our hope that their cases will be concluded in February this year. Their hearings have already taken place, and by February 2008, we hope that the hearings will then be concluded. So we followed all the necessary, the department followed all the necessary processes with regard to the suspension of those people. They were charged within 60 days. The hearings commenced in November 2007, and they are in process. So once they are concluded, we should be able to come back to the portfolio committee and indicate how they are concluded. And again, we can't be prejudicial. The hearing could very well come to the conclusion, like any case, that there is nothing wrong they have done, they must be reinstated to their position. We cannot act like inexperienced hotheads. We've got to give due regard to the due process so that it runs itself to its own conclusion, independent of our intervention by the political executive. What the political executive has done is to take the necessary steps to intervene in the department in the manner that we could have done. As I've indicated, and at the risk of sounding repetitive, inviting the intervention task team, getting detailed reports from the public service as well as the accountant general, inviting a team of specialists, turnaround specialists to assist us, who work with the DG and the senior management and the top management as it is, to address the problems that we are facing in the department. They have made a number of comprehensive suggestions as to how we need to change our financial system, our IT system, our human resources, our vision and design as the department, which is precisely why we were then able to come back to the to the portfolio committee last year and say that this is the new vision that we see for ourselves. These are the processes that we are going to take to ensure that you deliver an ID at least in 14 days, you deliver a passport in 7 days. These are the changes we are going to bring about in the refugee affairs. These are the changes we are going to bring about in the management of our immigration services. There could very well be, and there is a need for some changes in the Immigration Act so that we continue to improve our immigration services. And so the political oversight and the political leadership of the department is being exercised. The discussions with the top managers, insofar as the administration of the department is concerned, are taking place. Now, one of the things that we then raised was that we obviously need to consider whether you must not put your audit issues as part of the performance contract, either of the accounting officer, the DG, or the CFO, or both, so that they know as part of what they are required to do and what they will be assessed on, they know that they will have to deliver other than good quality service to South Africans, but also a prudent management of the resources of the state, which are public resources, by delivering a clean and unqualified audit. Those political steps have been taken, are being taken, and will continue to be taken. So we must assure the portfolio committee that the concerns and sentiments that you are raising with regard to this matter are shared by us. As ourselves, as members of the portfolio committee in the political executive, and when we come to account to you, Chairperson, we do so fully aware of the responsibility that we hold and try our level best to go beyond the line of the call of duty, so that we are able to turn the department around, not spin it around, but turn it around in terms of financial management, in terms of vision, in terms of human resources, in terms of information systems, in terms of human resources, of service delivery. Thanks.
Well, let's work on
the
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm also concerned about time, Chairperson, because the issues raised by Auditor General regarding the political guidance are many, Chairperson. We cannot conclude them now. But already, Chairperson, on our program, we have decided to have a workshop. Why can't we shift some of the concern, Chairperson, to the workshop which we are going to have with the department, Chairperson, so that we can allow the DG to
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
No, I think what we should do is that let's take the presentation.
once I've taken the presentation, you want to
just one correction, Chair. I said the second application for an ID is 13 rand. It's 15 rand. It's not 13, it's 15 rand. The ID photographs are separate. I think the 35 rand now arises from the fact that the ID photograph may be 20 rand, which is taken outside Home Affairs. And then when you come into Home Affairs, you then pay the 15 rand for a reissue of the ID. But the 20 rand is independent of us. But with the new changes that we are going to bring about, things may change.
All right, no, thank you very much, Mr. Minister, but I want to say that the number of issues, we still have to have time to deal with those issues. But I think the presentation now of the annual report is now coming, which we will now present the annual report. There are a lot of things that we still want to do, but a lot of time we'll put aside things where we want to meet with you, maybe without the officials, just meet with the creation without the officials, and really give me the understanding of the problem and how without your referring to the meeting. That day we showed a meeting of the creative and the portfolio committee, and then we'll definitely work on that meeting. On that note, we'll now offer you this opportunity to make a presentation of the late annual report as the Honorable Minister of Education. Therefore, can we now thank you?
Thank you very much, Chair. And thanks to the DM for giving the context in which this report is being presented. A number of questions have been asked already, and I hope that this is going to assist us in going through with my portion of the report. I have next to me Mr. Sagran Naidu, who is acting CFO. I'll expand a little bit on that. We had to get an acting CFO once the CFO had been suspended. We would not otherwise have been able to get things going. Acting because, as indicated by the DC, due process must be followed, frustrating us as much as it does that these processes take this long, but we have no ability to fast track them. We hope very strongly that by the end of February, the cases will be through. And we will then know where matters reside. So Sagran will be with us until such time as we have a CFO, and we can only have a CFO once the hearings are finished. And I hope, it's only a hope, that it will be in February. The independence of the judiciary is something that people talk about a lot here. I would also like to talk a little bit about the delayed report. Yes, it has been delayed for four reasons. One was that we are one of the heavily unionized departments, and the strike that took place around July had an impact on the collection of data by the members of the team from the AG. This affected us and a few other departments, and so there were extensions from the original timing that would have been September. But also the AG deployed for the first time a new external auditor who was clearly not familiar with the Home Affairs environment. It did take a little longer than it would have if they had done it themselves. So that point is, and all these points are considered by the stakeholders. The third point is that the CFO suspended had signed the original annual report, especially the financial statement, as indeed he should have. But when the suspensions took place, the AG's office correctly pointed out that the integrity of the report might be compromised by having a signature, the signature of a suspended person. And so I think they looked at this, took some time, and then came back to us, and when that was done, we duly prepared a new page and signed, and I signed the report on the financial side, exceptionally. So the report was then finally lodged by the 10th of December. It had been completed, by the way, since this thing is on record, but had not gone to our audit committee. And the audit committee of the department, which is independent, is a statutory requirement in this thing. And there's no way that a report of this nature would be presented to yourselves as a parliament without the imprimatur of the audit committee. So these things collectively contributed to the delay in the report. If it's a historical and traditional thing, we regret that very much, but not much could have been changed. So it wasn't quite the 4 months that we were accused of in the media, September to December, with the explanations that have been given, would be 3 months at a stretch. November, December 7th is when it came. I would like to also emphasize three things. I think the PM has said this, perhaps I'll just build on that. The support intervention team, whose work you're very familiar with, was invited to come in around July 2006, in the middle of this financial year. They presented their report to the minister in January. There were discussions, committees, interdepartmental or interministerial, and the final product came out around March. So when the DA, sorry, DP, sorry, DM, when the DM says that, I'm sorry to honor you like that, DM. And the DM says, in fact, all the things that were pointed out in the support intervention team report, those things actually confirm, the report confirms those things. I would have been surprised personally to have a different report than what we have now. I wish it was there, but then the minister would not need to have intervened and asked us to do this thing. I think the slaughter for us will come the next time around, which is we're finishing our own term in 2 months, and we have to get into the report, take it on board, the comments that have been made by the AG in this report that we're talking about. We have taken on board also, as will be pointed out by the CFO acting, a number of other reports that were prepared. This thing is can I be heard? It seems to disappear. There was a report that was done prior to annual reports, audits done prior to the current one. Our own internal audit group presented some report, and the SCOPA and a variety of others. We've taken on board all the issues that were raised in these reports, and they total 627 singly, and put them into a... This one is not the Home Affairs IT framework. That's enough of our food. So, there were three main areas that we would like to highlight in giving our responses to the annual report that we have for the Honorable Member. One was that there was weak leadership, and there was poor management, and the organizational structure was not suitable. Second one was there was an inadequate and wrongly placed wrong placement of human resources. In other words, the people were not enough in terms of numbers, just, but also quality and the placement in the organization. Thirdly, information technology and systems failed completely to support core business. As we now know, they seemed to create solutions of their own into which business needed to try and fit itself. Fourthly, substantial improvements were required in service delivery. And finally, a very poor financial management and in internal control, a point that has been very eloquently pointed out by the chair of the commission consistently. How did we address issues of a weak organizational structure? Unfortunately, this thing should not be done in too short a period of time, however pressing and urgent the issues. A good thing is a product of time, I think. So we undertook baseline studies, which included a survey of what the citizens need. So internally we dealt with how to establish, let us find out what everyone was doing in the organization, and determine why what they were doing resulted in the need for the minister to invite the intervention of a peer. But in terms of our client survey, we engaged the services of a professional organization, McKinsey in South Africa, and they did a sample that produced a report that we're very happy to show to the portfolio committee in time. But one of the things one can say very quickly that they found was that many people would like, if we could have an efficient home affairs, to collect their IDs from a home affairs office rather than from the post office. One of their recommendation findings was that 40% of the people who queue up in offices are merely asking for information, and they are not acquiring documents. So how do you deal with that? We looked at our contracts, which are going to deal with the post office and other service providers, and decided that we'd implement an alternative system once we strengthen our capacity to service the indicated desired needs of the citizen. Regarding alleviating queues, we have launched a contact center, call it a call center. I think we should call it contact in that it's not just for calls, but also you may walk in there and get certain things solved. It's based in Midland right now. And this, the intention is to make sure that in time, a lot of people can call this number and find out what is happening and not to have to go and queue in the lines. I know that not everybody has the means to call, but any relief is going to be helpful to those who do not have the means to make such calls. I think the check would indulge me when I post a little bit. Finance Week, by no means a great friend of Home Affairs, carries a column in which every week in which they review the performance of call centers in the country. They'll do Home Affairs, they'll do APSA, and they'll do others. What they did, I think, 5 issues ago was, this person, can I read quickly, sir? The family is off on a trip overseas this month. In order to get information into foreign countries, I needed to acquire passports for my 2 small children. After filling in the forms and dropping them off at Home Affairs, I waited a month before giving the department a call to find out where the vital documents were in their bureaucratic process. I called at 5:30 in the afternoon, expecting to be told to call back in the next morning. However, I was shocked to discover they were working from 7 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Good to see my tech friends at work. The menu system is simple and easy to understand, and I was speaking to an agent in just under 40 seconds. Even though she had already worked a full day, she was polite and had a great sense of humor. I almost forgot our calling the government department. I did wonder why I needed to give my name, ID number, and phone number to get the information I was looking for. But by the end of the call, I really didn't care. Home Affairs may have its challenges, but the agent I spoke to is clearly part of the solution and not the problem. Here is a graph. The scorecard was time taken to answer the first call, 37 seconds. First impression, 5/5. Ability to answer the query, 4/5. Courtesy of the agent, 4.5/5. Overall score, 4.5/5. I think it will please the committee that sometimes we do get it right. So this is based on, this is part of the reorganization and a focus on citizens. But also in terms of, we are currently in discussion with the Department of Public Service and Administration, and we are briefing the unions, we are highly unionized, on the model, on the structure that will be put together for a suitable Home Affairs. The footprint, which was part of what we did, of Home Affairs, shows that currently we are very much untransformed. We have offices in areas that were previous suburbia, and places like Soweto do not have more than 2 Home Affairs offices, and places for a decent 3 million people. Joburg Central, with whatever number they have, has more than 12 offices. So we need to change that. In the next, I hope within the next 5 years, we will really hope that the committee supports us in that. We'll make a more full presentation in that regard. The leadership and management question, how are we addressing that? We have now appointed 2 DDGs, one inside of immigration, the immigration branch. We have one in charge of IT, a critical component of our work. And of course, we are soldiering on with an acting CFO. In terms of management structures, we have set up an operations committee, and it meets every week. And it looks at operational methods, and it brings in people from the floor. Some of the effects of this, when I'm asked about problems, I'll give them, but I'd like to give you the good news, is that we have worked on a revised delegation of authority. The government is notorious for its bureaucracy, and the DG is asked to approve the appointment of the deputy director. That's about 4 levels down. We are putting a structure that says it's enough for the supervisor, immediate supervisor or a level higher, to do those things. You want to make a counter offer as people poach some of our good people, you have to wait until you get the minister. Our delegation of authority seeks to address these things. Then they were highlighted in some manner or other in the support intervention team report. But in our weekly meetings, it's good to be able to tell you that the person supervising the IT production area was able to report about 5 weeks ago that the backlog of IDs, which was about 325,000, was reduced to nothing. And that where it took about 27 days to set a document through the AFIS, the automated fingerprint system, that's the major bottleneck when people produce IDs. That's been reduced from 27 days to 4. And it does create a little bit of a crisis in the step, next step, which is why perhaps you don't quite experience that immediately as the parting. So we have also piloted in the verification section, and in there our the results. It's not a 300% improvement on previous things. On the question of human resources, this is one of the most difficult areas to tackle. You can have bodies as we have them, although some are acting and some are missing. But I think one of the greatest challenges for home affairs, and I would just say for other public institutions, is getting leadership, is getting management in place. It can only take time to get it right. But we have started the process of creating structure and putting people in those homes. Again, we're proceeding on the basis of scientific studies, of surveys that have been carried out. The consultants that are being talked about are performing a good service, but they are held very strictly to accountability. We are not dealing with the payment over a month or a period of time. It's payment output, and that's the structure of our relationship. We have costed with our human resource needs within the current baseline and funding numbers. There are about 7,600 people who work for Home Affairs. I think the approved establishment is about 15 or 11 million. I don't think we'll need all of those people, but we will not be 11,000. But I think when in 3 years our new model projects that we may need up to 10,000 or 9,900, somewhere around there. The qualitative difference here is that we need most of these people within the middle management and senior management levels. I think even with that, in terms of the money that will be required to run the group, will not be in excess of what has been approved already. There is indeed a challenge in compacting the structure. I think as all the people around here know, the longer the line, the steeper the hierarchy. The longer the line of communication, the longer the time it takes, and the more distorted the message that comes from the top. So we would like to really pack it up within the constraints of the civil service structure, which is controlled by GPSA.
I fully appreciate that you're dealing with the improvements, but I just want to know when we're going to deal with the report, the historical report, because clearly we need to at some stage deal with that, and I'm pleased to hear the improvements and the next time great, but we also need at some stage to deal with the historical report.
I think about it in that thing, because our game comes to that point, because the point is that we deal with the annual report, and we would expect that we get a good addition on the annual report. So I think that I said I deliberately left you to deal with the current, because what you're dealing with is the current. You're not presenting the annual report. When you present the annual report, you then take us through the last financial year, this was the gift, this was the better. And that's why I was saying that you may not be in the position to do that, because when you present the annual report, it informs one is the annual report, strategic plan, these are the things that we have put in place, is the budget that we received, and this is what we have done, and what was, all of those things are contained in the annual report. That's why our own work that we have done, the document that has been to members, is the work informed by the annual report itself, that this is what we expect. So I don't know, maybe we're still going to get to that this year, but the current is still dealing with the current issue. Maybe at some point we'll then get to the question, but again, I'm only going to watch time.
Thank you very much. I think I've miscued it altogether. The annual report is before the members who have read it and may wish to ask questions to which we'll respond. I really took the view that we have a disclaimer. It indicates where the issues were,
And I thought the committee might want to know what we are doing to address those things. And that's really what I was addressing myself, but it's clear that that's not how it should be. But if there are questions arising from that, perhaps we should answer. I don't quite know what I would do elaborating on the report that we have.
We expect the department to come and present the annual report. The report has been tabled in Parliament some time now in 15th of January. Therefore, the normal practice and procedure is that the report, the department will come and present its annual report to the portfolio committee that has been over. It may be for the committee to ask questions in that, or the committee may want to postpone the matter so that it gives members of the portfolio committee an opportunity to go through the report and come back and engage the department on the issues contained in the annual report. What you are doing is supposed to be accounting on the program that we have established. Within our strategic plan, these are things that we want to achieve. That is why when you adopt the report, you adopt the report with the strategic plan of the department. Therefore, you come and present that report informed by what you said you're going to achieve. That's why I said here this is that. In one area that is going to be done to come, especially not being a person that has been waiting, you know, on that particular strategic plan for the last year, actually. We gave you 2.8 billion rand, and you need to account for that 2.8 billion rand. Therefore, what I can do is that it's clear that the DG has dealt with the current issue. And the DM knows that when you present the annual report, it is a report that contains a number of findings that you need to be done on this report. You prepare yourself on the basis of this report as you are presenting to the committee. Then we will then take you on what you said you're going to do. You give us a strategic plan, and then we can measure you on the basis of what you said you're going to achieve. That's how we give you the annual report. She's not just to present the report and get questions or not. That's not very good. So, to me, if you do not prepare that, it means that we need to prepare ourselves, to attend to the department. For the last financial year, this is what we have done as the Department of Finance. And that is contained, even the details of the Auditor General findings and all of that, the report will be responding on the basis of what is contained in the report. That is not the problem. That is exactly how we understand the annual report and the table therefore of the annual report. So, if really we do not look at that, we tell the oversight of what we expect in the presentation of the annual report, I'm going to propose that we need to prepare ourselves for that. You definitely need to prepare that presentation. If you are able to do that, one of the things that I was raising earlier with the members was that either at some point we'll have to call the previous director general and those high echelon witnesses. Because they know it, that we now expect them to pass another vote, to pass another vote, and give you another thing, whatever you don't want that we're going to give you. When we cannot create a control, like now it's accounting of the money giving to the department. This is what we're dealing with today. The annual report contains what we gave you because we have the budget. We said, here's the money, go, because it's informed by your program, because you develop your strategic objectives that we put down, that these are things that we want to achieve. So, therefore, those cases are not strategic. You would have to guide me as to what we do, but I understand fully what the Honorable Sons is doing. And I think with the practice, I mean, for us, we have been here for the past 30 years, this is what, how we have been dealing with the hospital. It may be an oversight of DG on that issue, but we don't deal with the current issues we expect as a DG.
Yeah, I don't know how to react to this. It's
Chair, if that's the procedure, then I'm afraid our view was that the report had been distributed and that members might have questions to which we'd be expected to respond. And we also did expect that since most of the things raised in the report were, you should take corrective measures so that the same thing doesn't happen the next time. You know, we're able to focus on that kind of thing. But is it impossible to ask questions and then demand of us to respond to questions that have based on your reading of the report?
No, that's not the position. That's not the position. We need to follow the correct procedure. When the department accounts for, look, I see that there's this other report that I see here. It's the same report that you see. Huh? It's not the same. This one is the one that we see yesterday. There are two reports that we didn't get. And this report, No. It's clear that the not didn't get what we expect.
The section which is the financial report, which we have prepared, would it suffice?
No. You see, when you present the annual report, your annual report is linked with your provincial. Because you come to the portfolio committee, the annual report, you say, when you pass that vote, these were the programs that we have set ourselves to achieve. Those are your political cases. Therefore, we now make the presentation of what we have achieved on that particular responsibility. So there are a number of programs, you know, maybe IT, maybe the delivery, maybe all of those things are things that are contained in our report. And then it goes further to deal with the issues of the host general. The issues of the host general which are contained in the report. And those are details that get presented to the portfolio committee for them to say, yes, we now understand how the spending took place, what programs you have achieved, what you have not achieved, and all of that. That's the nature of the report. That's the nature of the presentation of the annual report. Then members will then ask questions on the basis of those issues that they have been presented. Yeah, I think you understand the point that I'm going to and it's not part of the arrangement, because I understand the mental issue of time. But you know, doing either, you know, to make a suggestion that if we're not already giving the detail of the annual report, not the arrangement, we will fail to understand, but deal with that report that you're presenting to me on the current issue. But by the time again, because the current issue is supposed to be informed again by the strategy plan. So at some point, you need to present your own strategy plan. Strategy plan that does not go at all. The goal is clear, this is what we set to achieve, with clear time frames of what we want to achieve. But if you follow the CFMA requirements, it needs a set of regulations. You need to have time frames of these are all the things that we want to do for the commission here. Can I see you be raising my hand from time and I'm trying to avoid it? Can I give you an opportunity to speak? Can I give you a chance to speak?
Speak. Yes. Speak. Yeah, after speaking. You allow me to speak.
Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that the Chairperson already highlighted it's a process of any other talk. I don't understand the changes, the misunderstanding for today is a meeting. For the annual report or for the presentation. But if the from this one is a column, if this one coming to the make your annual report for the order is including for order in the book, it's a delay, it's a long time. Then today you just wonder the all the members can pass the few questions asking and then approve the annual report. I think it's quite long. So I suggestion to the chairperson. I keep the time. I think the way we postpone this meeting up to the you make the other presentation for the annual report. Because it is a, you can see the past 13 years. It's the oral report. We never make this annual report like today, say, you just put in this book. Then once the member asks the question.
No, you made the point. You made the point.
Yeah, so, and then we finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I strong suggestion, we will be postponed the meeting. So this one, even you want to carry on for this statistical report, so this is not right, because the annual report is not approved. We can't see the next issue. We don't know. Thanks.
No.
Okay, maybe I can just give a tangible example of the difficulty that I have. If you look on the page 73, it says, during the reporting year, the department was engaged in the extensive process of capturing assets in the asset management system in an effort to update the asset register. Then you go to the Auditor General's report that deals with capital assets, and it speaks about R1 billion, of which R851 million does not agree with the asset register amount of R236 million. We would like to engage those specific figures. That's large figures we're looking at. Then you go back to the report and it says the department is currently in the process of updating the asset register. GG, that's what you're doing now. You're doing that part. That you're telling us the department is currently in the process of updating the asset register. We want to know what happens to that difference between R1 billion worth of assets. Where that discrepancy, and I think that's the type of engagement. But it's extensive, particularly when it comes to the financial side. And I fully appreciate you updating us, and that's the good news that we want to see. But it doesn't remove the sense that we've got to enter and engage those financials, and up to the point when it was the nightmare situation. We've still got an obligation to deal with up to March 07, what happened with the financials. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, can I give you the
I want to agree that the portfolio of, to support the idea that the portfolio committee gives the department another date, and that we would need to bring probably a different delegation so that we are able to present the facts relating to that period of time, because among the people who are here, obviously, probably none of them could be able to account for that period of time to answer the questions that the portfolio committee may actually want to be answered. Thank you.
As I said that earlier, that I allowed the meeting to continue, but I know very well that we are not responding to what they have to do. Therefore, I think the concern that members have raised of the portfolio committee, that we agree that we'll have the department to go back and present them, come back and account. You see, you need to account for the programs you said you're going to achieve. To account for every little expense that we gave you as Parliament. Therefore, that is the detail. I think I said that you're going to need to engage even with the previous director of the Financial Commission. But if there's any problem for you, DG, to arrive at getting the full information about the activities of the department, don't hesitate to communicate with us in time so as to help you to get those who are. To come and come. Because nothing stops this portfolio committee to call in the former director general. It may be director general who said Home Affairs 4 years back or 10 years ago. Nothing stops us to do that. But we believe very strongly that DG, in whatever that you are doing, which we appreciate very much, especially with the current issues that you're dealing with, we want to help you so that when you move forward, DG, all the ground is leveled for you. You don't have to get a CPUs on the road, a tons and all of that. Therefore, we'll then postpone this meeting. What we'll do is that between ourselves and the LBC, the officers too, because they think and checking your department once you're ready with the presentation. And that must happen before the next financial year, because very soon we'll be getting into the new budget. And meaning that we need to move 30 years ago to sort of to go. But again, I think what is important is that you can use within the judgment that we have distributed to the committee point of view and the number of questions already that we are asking. So that that document helps you as a guide on the issues that the portfolio committee wants to know. That will then expand further on the issues in 2000. And that's not easy, I think, let's take what the committee is saying and then we'll communicate on that. I know that we're supposed to have engaged with the DPW. So we want to say that the same, the department must be in those presentations. I'm not going to be able to take your presentations in some way. What we then do is that with our ratings, meantime in between, the committee will invite the freedom of publication, will invite the IEC, because we expect the annual report to present again, because that was women due to the activities that they have worked for. That took place over those over the past 2 weeks. So on that note, then that's how we're going to close the meeting. We have arranged night as much as we get 1 o'clock. So members will then and the officials and everybody is here, the journalists and the veteran journalists will join us for lunch time. We have already paid for that lunch. So you join us for that lunch and then until further notice of the night meeting. And can I, I'm supposed to ask the members of the ANC study group to remain in the room. And those other study groups can go to the meeting somewhere. Thank you very much.
No, it came from one of the journalists there.
Who is this?
Is this yours?
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks a lot.
Make an announcement.
Thank you. You would go down the top.